It's a Mesero Monday. We're finishing up our tax talk month of March. Gary Pattingale, former CPA, now a Mesero Wealth Advisor, but he's the guy everyone turns to for tax questions. And now let's say that we've already gotten our return. We already know what we've done, and we're kind of getting the report card, whether we get money, whether we owe money. You make a great point about use that return as a tool for yourself for how this year and beyond goes, right?
Yeah, exactly. So once the return is filed, you know, a lot of people just check out mentally, and that's a mistake. You want to make sure that you're using the tax return for a diagnostic tool and you're looking for planning opportunities for this year and beyond. So you want to use your return strategically. You want to look at your effective rate versus your marginal rate. What's your tax bracket structure? Is there room for any kind of Roth conversion, for example? If you're in a really low tax bracket, maybe you shouldn't be making pre-tax contributions. Or if it's the opposite, maybe you shouldn't be making Roth contributions if you're in the top tax bracket. It really depends. And then I think this is important, but you really want to avoid situations where there's tax torpedoes. So triggering deduction phase outs or pushing capital gains or income into a higher bracket unintentionally. So like, for example, you know, Roth conversion, for example, if there was Social Security that wasn't previously taxed, that could be pushed into taxable territory, or Medicare premiums can be bumped up, or deductions could be phased out. You know, there's so many different like levels and phase outs and things that could go unintentionally the way that you didn't expect, and then, you know, your rate on doing something might be a lot higher than what you expected. So you got to watch out for that.
I mean, I feel like your CPA should tell you at the end of the day, here's X, Y, and Z where you could have done better. But I guess that's not really what I pay that person for, unless they're a CPA that's like a monthly, like you're paying a fee for, right? I think people maybe expect that, oh, they'd tell me if something was not optimized to 100%, but not all CPAs will do that.
Well, yeah, and I think in fairness, the CPAs, you know, they're really busy, right?
They got 100%.
Yeah, especially
I'm not blaming
now.
Them.
Yeah.
I paid you to do my tax returns, not to be my tax planner for the whole year. You could pay someone to do that, and maybe people should. But that's why I think you're saying, like, hey, don't just, like, check out after the return is done. Mm. Look at areas you missed.
That's exactly right. So, you know, CPA's time is valuable, and it's hard to get, especially this time of year. So working, you know, that's a void that we recognize here at Mesero, is that, you know, tax planning is something that clients really need, but it's hard to get, you know. And so we offer that as a, you know, part of our overall service. And it's really looking for what should we be doing and then integrating the CPA into that discussion to make sure it makes sense or not. So like, for example, you know, bunching deductions into 1 year to take advantage of itemizing in 1 year versus taking the standard in the next, maybe, you know, versus taking standard in 2 years. Maybe you get more of a deduction. Using donor advised funds, we've talked about that. But that's, you know, the gifting, you have a stock with a big gain. You need to rebalance. You don't want to pay that tax, but you're charitably inclined. That can make a lot of sense, you know, and combined with the bunching.
I like charitably inclined, by the way. You're a good person, basically, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You're charitably inclined. It's a very PC way to say that. Okay, very
exactly.
Good.
Exactly. So, but, you know, if you're going to gift anyway, why not make it a little more intentional and take advantage of the tax laws if they're out there?
Or maybe you're donating a couple thousand to something and you took it out of your – you were had an RMD, and instead of just sending some of the RMD to the charity before it touches your bank account, you let it touch your bank account, and you get taxed on it, and then you send the money anyways. I mean, that's a simple way to avoid some tax dollars, too.
Right, yeah. And, you know, something else that we didn't touch on, too, so if you're over 70 and a half and you're taking RMDs, which you mentioned, you can make qualified charitable distributions. So that means gifting money straight from your IRA to the charity. And that can count toward your required distribution. So if you don't necessarily need that income or you want to lower your taxes or both, that's a great way to do it. It's a highly efficient way to gift.
And the charities like it too.
They do. They sure do. And then also, this is new. So for starting in 2026, even non-itemizers, it always used to be you had to itemize to take advantage of your charitable deductions. But starting this year, cash deductions can be deducted for up to $1,000 if you're single, $2,000 if you're married. But it's only for cash gifts, not donor advised funds or appreciated stock. But the point is, make sure you keep track of that this year, because that's actually going to be deductible, and a lot of people maybe didn't do that in the past.
Even if you're itemized, even if you're taking the standard.
That's correct.
And that's for the calendar year for next tax year, not for this tax year.
That's for 2026 this year.
Okay. Yeah.
So if you're going to make gifts in 2026, keep track of it if they're cash gifts.
Oh, that's huge. Yeah. That's huge, because a lot of charities have thought, well, we kind of get passed along because, like, if it, most people standardize, right? When they double the standard deduction, a lot of people stopped giving to charity because it was such a nice opportunity to lower their tax a little bit and be charitably inclined. Any other last things you want to give us here before we wrap this one up?
You know, I think the only other thing that is worth considering if you want to try to lower your taxes, this gets often overlooked. If you have a trust where the trust actually pays its own taxes, it could be a good strategy to distribute that income if the trust will allow it to the beneficiaries. Because what happens is at the trust level, you hit the high the highest tax rate very quickly. It's about $15,000 versus maybe $700,000 plus if you're married. So that's a huge separation of income before you hit the top tax bracket. So it only takes a few thousand dollars to be paying 37% plus, right?
Hmm.
So if you distribute that income to the beneficiaries and the trust allows it, it gets taxed at the beneficiary level versus the trust level. So often beneficiaries are in a lower tax bracket, can make a lot of sense, can save a lot on taxes.
And you can do that while you're still living, even though it's a trust that was made maybe for when you're passed.
Right. Well, often the situation that you see is it might be a trust that you inherited that allows for income distributions or actually mandates income distributions. It really depends. But if it's optional and you leave the income in the trust, it'll get taxed to the trust tax rates in generally speaking. But if you have the ability to distribute that and the beneficiary can take that and pay the tax on it, it might be at a much lower rate and that could be advantageous.
If I hire Mesero and a wealth advisor to help me with my money, this tax stuff kind of comes with what you all do?
It does. That's all included. And we don't just do it once and put it on the shelf. We got to look at this continuously, right? Laws are changing and situations are changing. So at least annually we're going to do this, maybe more than once a year. And it's all in a context of an overall comprehensive plan, too. We can't just look at this year. That's more the blocking and tackling for 26. But we got to look at years out. So, you know, we've talked about Roth conversions. Let's look at your rate today versus what your rate might be several years from now. And is there any opportunity we can take advantage of because of that?
877-MESIROW, M-E-S-I-R-O-W is how you spell that. And Gary, it's been a great month talking taxes.
Thank you, John.
This is your bread and butter, baby. And I appreciate you joining us and giving our listeners some feedback and giving all the people at Mesero and the customers, too.
Great. Thank you, John. It's really been great to be here. Great to see you again.
All right. That's a Mesero Monday. We'll pick it up in April. April. What will April bring? We'll find out.